Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen, amen. Boy, thank you guys. You did a wonderful job. Awesome. Awesome, awesome. So I need to find that little thing that we call a clicker. How many of y'all got clickers at home? Husbands? Oh, I know. Y'all call them remotes. I call them clickers. But let me see if I can get this turned on. I'm going to need it today. Believe it or not, I think I'm going to get to finish the message that we started concerning adjusting. There you go. Concerning adjusting our, we need to make adjustments in our journey with God. If we fail to make the adjustments that God wants us to make, we won't be able to get to where He wants us to go. We may get to where we may want to go, but we might not get to where He wants us to go. Does that make sense? How many of you know that our nation is struggling? Our nation is struggling. It really is. And we need to understand that, you know, if you want truth, go to the Bible. And you will find it. You will find in the Bible that it says a nation or a kingdom divided against itself will not stand. That's emphatic. Will not stand. You won't be able to make it if you're divided against itself. And our nation is being torn apart. Is trying to be torn apart. And we as God's people have a responsibility to respond the way God wants us to respond and not respond the way our political party is saying to do it. If we follow just political parties, we will wind up where we don't want to go. I don't care which one you choose. If you just follow the political party, you'll wind up where you don't want to go, where God does not really want you to go. The political parties have their place. And I'll say this too. If you just follow religion, you will not get to where God wants you to go. If you only follow your denomination, you'll not get to where God wants you to go. Amen. So we need to understand that. And we need to understand also that not only will we not be able to stand, we won't be able to endure, we'll be split and we'll be divided, and because we're divided against ourselves. We have a stand for righteousness, and we have a stand to hate evil. Let that sink in. Jesus got the anointing of God in joy because He loved righteousness and He hated evil. That brought the anointing of joy and gladness upon Jesus. So that's an anointing that we need to have as well. Amen. Because in order to be able to get that, we're going to be able to love righteousness and hate evil. Not hate people, but hate evil. Amen. And we need to get that. There's another verse that's over in Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no prophetic revelation, one version says where there is no vision, where there is no prophetic revelation, the people cast off restraint. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like what you see? It sounds like what I see. I see that there's no voice of God that are impacting the people, so they cast off restraint, do whatever they want to do, and call it right. Amen. You know, so we have got to understand, we as a people of God, this nation needs a prophetic voice. Yes. This nation needs a prophetic revelation of who God is. We need that. I've been praying for that. I've been praying for the awakening of hearts of all creatures. And we need to be able to do that. But it goes on and says, where there is no prophetic revelation, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. There's so much disregard for law, so much disrespect. And what they call is right. we the people of God cannot fall prey to any movement that is not of God. We're praying, and Pastor John talked about, you know, the move. We're looking for the move of God, for God to move. You know, and I really feel like God is looking for us to move in his direction. You know, and we really need to do that. And when you begin to see things happening that you just grieve over it. I just grieve over what I see happening. It causes me to pray more. It causes me to try to gain better understanding. That's what we're going to be talking about. Talking about understanding today. And we have to, one of the things that Jesus didn't like on this earth was he was not too fond of hypocrites. Is that true? He devoted a whole chapter, "Woe unto you hypocrites." You know, what that means is, okay, I'm going to play this thing, I'm going to say this thing, but I'm going to act this way. Y'all with me? You know, and people want to think the hypocrites are the only one, they're the only ones that go to church. Look, they're hypocrites all over the place. Play acting. But God, he's not in favor of that. He wants us to be able to do what we're supposed to do and do it with all of our heart. And whatever we put our hands to do, do it as unto the Lord. And that's what he's wanting us to do. He says, a people without understanding are ruined. Chew on that one a little bit. A people without understanding, they're ruined. In other words, they're devastated and they have ruin in their life. Their lives are ruined, and we're ruining a nation because of lack of understanding. And but at the same time, we have to stand up and arise. And one more thing before I get into this other thing is 2 Corinthians 10 tells us, but by measuring themselves among themselves and comparing themselves to themselves, they lack understanding. Measuring ourselves among ourselves. Well, I'm white, you're black, he's brown, he's there. No, measuring ourselves according to ourselves. Comparing ourselves to ourselves. He said, you lack understanding. And if you don't have understanding, you're headed to ruin. We have got to be awakened spiritually to the Word of God and to the principles of God's kingdom, so that when we speak, we're speaking the kingdom. He said it's the gospel of the kingdom that is going to be preached all over the world. Didn't say the gospel of salvation. It said the gospel of the kingdom. Now, salvation is in the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom is God's way of doing things. And if there's anybody that needs to be heralding what God's ways are, it needs to be his people. We can't be heralding the things that are not of him. It's not going to help us. It's not going to help them. You know, this thing about, and I bring up this thing about hypocrites is because I see this thing going on in Seattle. And I see so much hypocrisy. And they call it, this is a revolution. This is what we're supposed to do. You know, when you look at it, you know, they're going to take over 6 blocks. And somebody may say right now, Pastor, are you going to get political? No, I'm going to get scriptural. And it's going to hit the politics. If your politics can't handle the truth, that movie, you can't handle the truth. We need to be able to handle the truth. Does that make sense? I'm not on a soapbox, but I am saying that, you know, when you begin to, you know, and the same group don't want any police. No police. And what do? They arm themselves to protect themselves. And they'll cry out that borders are racial. What do? Build a wall. Build a border. And they'll try to keep everybody out. Arm themselves, police themselves. And then they don't like all the corruption that goes on in the regular society, but they will extort business owners. That's for money. I'm just telling you the truth. They'll criticize America for, you took the Indians' land away. You stole it from them. You took somebody else's property. They stole six blocks. The thing is so full of hypocrisy that it's so invalid at the very beginning, because you know why? You'll never be able to rid evil. You'll never be able to get rid of it. But the Bible says you can overcome it. And you don't overcome evil with evil. You can overcome evil with good. That's the truth. And what happens is they recreate in this six block area, they recreate, and people want to call it good. They want to call it a block party. They want to call it a summer of love. You know, I've got one big duh. What is wrong? I mean, what is wrong with that? It's insurrection. And they wind up recreating the very thing that they opposed. Now, are we doing that? We can. Okay. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. I'll just jump off of that box and get on another one. Voices need to be spoken. Voices need to be heard. People need the truth. They need the truth, and they need to be able to hear it, and they need to be able to hear it in love. I love them. I love every one of them. The thing is love, but you've got to be able to tell, you've got to be able to say the facts. What are the facts here? Let's go. Proverbs chapter 3, I want you to look at this, verse 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let me say this. If you and I are not careful, we will take in so much viewing of lawlessness that our heart will begin to grow cold. You know why I know that? It's in the Bible. Because lawlessness has increased. The heart of many will begin to grow cold. Their love of many will grow cold. In other words, you'll say, well, I love them, but you sure won't have any action that shows it. Even though you can say it, but your action's not showing it. Why? There's a coldness of your love that has taken place because you've taken in all this thing about lawlessness. Lawlessness increases. If we do not keep focused on what God is saying and what God is doing and do what God is saying and do what God is doing, we will lose our focus and our love will begin to grow cold. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. He will direct your paths. Now, I want to talk to you about, there's four invitations in this passage that God is wanting us to see. God is wanting us to understand. This first thing about these four invitations that God has given us, the first thing is, it says, the first word is trust. There's three layers of trust. Well, how do I know I trust? Well, first layer, do you have confidence without fear? First layer of trust, confidence without fear. Come boldly before the throne of grace. I mean, come with courage. Confidence without fear. Second layer is security without worry. Security without worry. In other words, if you're worrying, you're not secure. He wants you to have security without worry. That's the second layer of this thing of trust. The third layer is rest without anxiety. Rest without anxiety. So if we have anxiety, we're anxious and have this thing of there's just no rest. But see, you can't rest if you're anxious. So he wants us to be able to rest. So confidence, you know, he says confidence without fear, secure without worry, rest without anxiety. Confidence, security, and rest. That's when you trust. So do you think our trust needs to be more developed? Absolutely. Maybe not in some areas, but there's some areas that trust needs to be more. You need to have more confidence in some areas. You need to be more secure in some areas. Have the security. Know that you know that you know. You don't have to worry about it. And that you can rest. See, this society, this culture does not know how to rest. So we have to be able to see the first invitation. It means to bring who you are to him. He can be trusted. Why is that? Because this thing about trust, he said, who are you going to trust in? He says, the Lord. This word Lord is the same one, the same word that God introduced himself to Moses. Who am I going to say sent me? He said, I am that I am. I am. He is whatever you need him to be in regards to what he's called you to do. I am that I am. Always have been, and I'm here now, and I always will be. That is the God you trust. So in the process of understanding his name and the introduction of who he says he is, I am. I am that I am. Always have been, am, and always will be. So we have to see that our trust is in the Lord who was, who is, and is to come. He's eternal. So your trust is in God who is eternal. Everlasting. You got anybody better than that you want to trust? Neither do I. He said, trust. But Moses actually said, I must turn aside. He saw this fire, and he'd seen fire out in the desert before. He'd seen tumbleweeds on fire. Fire out in the desert was not something that was new to him. But this fire was new. Why was it new? Y'all knew why. Why? It didn't go out. All the others went and went away. This one did not go out. And he acknowledged and he said, wait a minute, God's up to something. I must watch this. I must turn aside. I must stop what I'm doing. I know I said stop what I'm doing. Stop what I'm doing to turn to go see what I'm seeing. See, that's an invitation of God. He says, trust in the Lord with all your, trust in the Lord, the great I am, with all your what? All your heart. This word heart means, watch this, this word heart means your feelings, your thinking, and your decisions. Trust, confident, secure, and rest. Trust him with my feelings. Trust him with my thinking. Trust him with my decisions. See, this is the invitation. Trust, you can bring who you are to him because he can be trusted. Bring who you are. Well, it's not too pretty right now. He already knows that. But he doesn't see you that way. He sees you a whole totally different way. You see, you is not looking too good right now. But his invitation is, come on, come on, come on. Bring your heart to me. Bring your feelings. Bring what you feel. Bring what you think. Bring the decisions that you're making to me. See, I was taught growing up that God was very strict and partially mean. As a kid, I felt that way because I was told, you know, you better, God's going to get you. You don't straighten up, God's going to get you. You better not. Have you ever been around that? I know some of you older people may have gotten it, you know. But the whole picture of God is like, you know, loving God, but I'm mad as hell. It's hard to edit stuff like that on the fly. That has to be checked right here. No, but religion does that. Religion is absolutely ugly unless it's pure religion in the Bible. It's just absolutely ugly. Anyway, but that's not who he is. He said, you can trust me. I'm inviting you to come. You can trust me with your heart. You can be secure. You can be confident. You can rest that when you come with who you are, I'm not going to expel you. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm going to love you, and I'm going to give you more than you've ever dreamed of. Amen. What is next, Pastor? Well, first invitation, bring who you are to him because he can be trusted. Second thing is, do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean. You know, I can prop up right here, but this thing can go, and I'm pretty well, I can balance myself. But now, John, come on up here. You ain't going to hurt me, are you? Come on up here. See, here I am questioning if I can trust him. You know, but see, I can lean, and I can sort of lean on John, so it's just like a little lean, you know. I mean, but that's really like a prop. I'm just sort of propped up. You know, go ahead and move. I got a little wiggle, but that's it. You know what I'm saying? Just a little bit off balance. But now listen, if I start turn around, if I start really leaning, put one foot in front of you, brother. Now, if he moves now, I'm pretty well done. See, this is what this word means. It doesn't mean a casual prop. Oh, yeah, I'll just run this by God. There's no running it by. Boy, I just like, oh, you, John, you all right. I'm resting in John. John, are you burdened? Are you heavy laden? Jesus says, come unto me, all you heavy laden, and he'll give you rest. Okay, go get you some rest. All right, thank you, Pastor. Do not lean. Do not put your full support on what you understand. Y'all with me? We may understand. It's just like seeing what you see on TV. Do you understand? Do you understand? If our own understanding is coming from our own self or it's coming from God, see, when we get understanding from God, we know what we need to do. But our understanding, if it comes from other things, from our own being, from other things, we're not going to be able to make it. He says this. He says, lean not unto your own understanding. Do not place your entire weight and full support on something that is shakable. If it's shaking, it's not kingdom. Without kingdom, anything you lean on to that's kingdom, it will not fall. It'll go through shaking, but it will not fall. It means do not put your own understanding, do not let your own understanding be your resting place. Y'all got that? Don't let that be your resting place. So we need to have this understanding that God helps us as we perceive in our understanding, we will comprehend. So this is the second thing. To know him and to see him as he is, you'll be able to comprehend who he is. Not fully, because that's a growing thing. But see, he said, don't lean on your own understanding. The Bible says over in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. If you're not listening to what's coming out of his mouth, you're not going to have understanding anyway. So what is God saying? You look at something, say, what is God saying? Go read the Bible. Go listen. Go spend some time in prayer. Go find out what is God saying. Because he hasn't left us. That's the second invitation, to know him and to see him as he truly is, because we'll be able to comprehend who he is. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Here we go. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Well, what is this thing about my ways? It's your family life, financial life, business life, school life, neighborhood life, health life, social life, church life, emotional life, ministry life, relational life, private life, public life, politics. If you got a lot of politics, what is he saying here? All of your life, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. In all your politics, acknowledge him. Now, you and I have this thing about, I'm going to move, guys, so follow me if you can. It's this thing about acknowledgement. You know, our acknowledgement is like this. How you doing? What did I just do? I acknowledged him in a very small, shallow way. That's an acknowledgement. That is not what the Bible, the word for acknowledgement, to acknowledge him, that is not. God does not need a head bob. Y'all doing good? You know, even this, how you doing? I mean, I've acknowledged, keep going. That is not what God is saying in this. Would you like to know? I would say come on back next week, but I'm not going to do you that. I'm not going to do you that. So in all of your ways, in all of your life that we just talked about, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge. This word acknowledge means to experience in a very close and intimate way. That's more than a head bob. Yes, to experience him in a very close and intimate way. How many of you have ever really just had an intimate time with God and knowing him? Man, I have to. I wouldn't take anything for it. But he said, any part of your life, experience him to the fullest of who he is. To become intimate. I mean, you start sharing things. You start saying, God, I don't understand this, and I don't even like this. How many of you have ever told God something that you didn't like? I don't really like this. How many of you I don't really like what you're doing right now. I mean, I'm not comfortable with what you're doing. See, you may say, well, you know, I never say that to God. Well, then you're not sharing your feelings with him. You're sort of like being, anyway. To acknowledge him is not a head bob. It means to experience the close and intimate way, time together. So, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. He said, this is the third invitation, to come and gain a reality of God by experiencing him in all of your life. He's inviting us in this passage. I want you to just not know about me. I want you to know me. And I want you to experience me. I got pastors that tell me, all you charismatics, that's all y'all ever care about is experiences. I said, yeah. But we like the word too. We love the word. But we want to experience what's in the word. Well, that y'all major on it. And I said, well, let me ask you this. Have you ever experienced salvation, or you just know about it? No, I've experienced it. And I said, okay. You about experiences too. All right, let's go on. I don't have time for all that. Gain the reality of God by experiencing him in all of your life. told you it's hard to edit. Anyway, the invitation is, I want you to come and experience me. I want you to come and let me touch your life as you reach in and grab mine. Here's the fourth invitation, and he will make your path straight. He will direct your path, another version said. He will make your path straight. And what's the implication here? It means that he will instruct your walk. Anybody need any instructions on how to walk? Yes. With God, that is. Instruct on how to walk. See, this is where his promises, you know his promises, and it gives you an instruction on how to walk. You know his word, and he gives you instructions how to walk. So here's the last invitation. This fourth invitation is to allow him to adjust your journey with him. What do I mean by that? And sometimes it means that you're on a roll and you're about to say something. I'll tell you one thing. I'm about to. I hear you, Lord. Have you ever had that happen? Or have you ever said it and you're just reaching for that? You got a tube of toothpaste and you can't put it back. It just, you get it all over yourself, get it all over everybody. You try to, I didn't really mean that. I mean, you did. You meant that at the moment. So you begin to see that he's instructing, that he's got. Have you ever been going a certain way and all of a sudden you found your way going somewhere else and you really don't know why? And then maybe you do know why. Maybe you're on your way to the store and all of a sudden he drops somebody's name in your mind or something else. And then you just say, I really need to go check on them. I really know something may be going on. Why? That's a redirection. That's just, see, that's minor stuff. But this thing about, this evil stuff that's all out here, God said, I'll direct your paths. He's inviting us to be able to trust him, get confident. And he says, I will show you how to adjust as we go along in life to this abundant life that he says he has for us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? All right, my time is up, and we've got to go on and finish this another day or something. Who knows? But listen, God is alive, and he wants us to live not just a life. He wants us to live an abundant life in him. If you don't know him, you're not living life. You're living an earthly life, but not the spiritual life, not the eternal life. See, everyone that's born again is living eternal life now, not just when we get to heaven. We're living eternal life now because our spirit is alive, not dead. See, as we grow in our walk with God, we become more and more mature, and less has an impact on us. Why? Because we're safe. That word says, that song says, safe and secure from all alarm. Whew. Safe and secure from all alarm. And he wants us to be able to go into this darkness. But you can't take darkness to darkness and make a difference. It's only light in the darkness that's going to make a difference. You cannot take hate to hate and make a difference. Only love is going to make the difference. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, thank you so much for your love and your care and your teaching us. And Lord, our life is yours. And Lord, we ask you to use us. Lord, just like, with Isaiah, you're saying to Isaiah, whom shall I send? Lord, we're going to respond and say, here am I, Lord. Send me. You're correcting all of our adjustments and helping us to step in that power that you're wanting us to step into and that purity of love that you want us to step into and demonstrate. Because the way you want us to do it is one that represents you. And Lord, no matter where our trust level is, that's what others are going to see in us, how you are. And God, we want you to be magnified with our life, our words, and our living. So we thank you for today, safe and secure from all alarm. In Jesus' name we pray. Online streamers and dreamers, thank you so much for coming today, for joining us. I hope you got something out of the message. And we at Father's Vineyard, we want to say we love you. Welcome back. We hope to see you back next week. And one thing about the parents, what I'd like to acknowledge you guys to do is go to our website. We have videos for you to watch for with the kids. They have their worship and their teaching as well. And our workers have worked hard to be able to put that online for you. So please do that and enjoy more worship and teaching with your children. God bless you. Love you. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.